Welcome to the Mental Health Podcast, a series of interviews with figures in the world of psychology, asking them about their fields of interests, opinions, and published works. I'd like to introduce Professor Willem Kuiken, Christine Podeski, and Robert Dudley. Willem Kuiken is Professor of Clinical Psychology at the University of Exeter, who has published more than 50 articles and book chapters, and is a recipient of the May Davison Award from the British Psychological Society. Christine Podeski is a Distinguished Founding Fellow of the Academy of Cognitive Therapy and recipient of its Aaron T. Beck Award. She is an internationally renowned speaker and co-author of 6 books, including the best-selling Mind Over Mood. Dr. Podeski's numerous awards include the Distinguished Contribution to Psychology Award from the California Psychological Association. Robert Dudley is a consultant clinical psychologist at the Northumberland Tyne and Wear Mental Health NHS Trust. He is currently serving as a Beck Institute Scholar at the Beck Institute for Cognitive Therapy and Research. Collaborative Case Conceptualisation, published by Guildford Press and distributed throughout the UK and Europe by Taylor & Francis, is written for practitioners in clinical psychology, psychiatry, counselling, social work and other related mental health fields, as well as for the student market. It will serve as a core text in graduate level CBT courses in clinical practice. Information about ordering and details of free sample chapters are available at the end of this podcast. Well, thank you all for coming in. Rob, could you tell us what prompted you to write your new book, Collaborative Case Conceptualisation?
There's a few reasons that we're really interested in doing this. First and foremost, it's a process that we come across every day. As clinicians, it's very much central to the work we do, helping people understand and help overcome the difficulties that they face. And as trainers and supervisors, these are the processes that people really want our help in developing and using that to help the clients they work with. So we realise that it's such an important process in the work we do, yet there's a paucity or a lack of understanding about the best way in which to help deliver that effectively with the clients or train others in those areas. And as we worked on it, we began to think that there were kind of key principles that we could draw on and help articulate to help those people in those processes, and there was something we could add to that, something that, about how we could enhance and improve the process of case conceptualization.
I know for me, I think one of the key things was that I think that clients have been too often left out of important CBT processes, especially more complicated processes like case conceptualization. So many of the CBT books teach therapists to do case conceptualization, and I was particularly interested in bringing the client more central to the process because I think clients can make a huge contribution. And also, I was attracted to the project because the three of us share an interest in incorporating strengths into CBT, and I thought this was a real contribution we could make to show how strengths could be incorporated into every aspect of CBT, including case conceptualization.
And I think the thing I'd add is, if we're honest, this is something that's been a struggle for us in our careers as well. But what's interesting, I think, about our co-working is it's been a struggle in different ways. It's been a struggle as a clinician. How do I conceptualize with my clients? And as a supervisor and a consultant and a trainer, how do I support people in this? And also as a research conundrum. The research throws up a whole bunch of conundrums around case conceptualization, and that's been a struggle as well. And we've used that struggle to really distill the ideas into the book.
And could you explain in more detail what you mean by the term collaborative case conceptualization?
Yeah, I'd like to take that one on because the collaboration is something that means the client is central to the conceptualization process. It's not, many times therapists just use the client as the source of information and then the therapist thinks, I'll put this together in my head. But in our model, the client is really an active co-collaborator. No conceptualization can take place. Not only informing the conceptualization, do you need the client's input, but also the client should be a key person to decide, does the conceptualization make sense? Does it fit their life experience? So we're really looking at a synthesis between client input and what the therapist brings to the table in terms of knowledge of theory and research.
We had the idea, as we were developing the book, of a crucible. And the crucible was an important metaphor because it's a strong container in which something important can happen. So we thought about the crucible as the place where the client experience, the therapist's knowledge of theory and research and so on comes in. And it's where that process of description and understanding can unfold. And that's the other bit. This is a process that unfolds over time in the same way that a reaction unfolds over time in a crucible, creating lasting and important change.
And which audience do you think the book will appeal to?
I would say any therapist who sees clients. Perhaps there's a more serious answer to that, but I think it truly is a struggle with all clients, particularly I would say with therapists working with clients who have complex issues. I think our model comes into its own when you get clients who have multiple diagnoses or more complicated diagnoses. Perhaps a client with a very simple presenting issue, you wouldn't need all the levels that our book talks about. We didn't actually say anything about levels of conceptualization.
No, I mean, I guess that's one of the three principles that we talk about in the book, is this idea that conceptualization unfolds over time, over a series of three levels. And the first level is really trying to keep things very simple, both for us as therapists and for our clients, to meet our clients where they start by describing clients presenting issues in cognitive and behavioral terms. So the issues that they bring into therapy, just beginning to articulate those in terms of the thoughts, the images, the behaviors that they experience. And then as we go through, we move to levels of explanation. Can we begin to understand the hows and whys of that presenting issue and what keeps it going? Why is that problematic? Why hasn't it resolved for itself? And then the final level, the third level of conceptualization, we're beginning to unpick the protective factors and the predisposing factors in the person's history that have led to them having this problem at this time. I don't know if you guys want to kind of say a bit more about that.
I was thinking a bit about who I thought it would appeal to, and I think if you think about those principles, the levels of explanation, the value of the collaborative process, and the incorporation of strengths, actually, whilst we think of people differing in their skill level as perhaps novice, intermediate, or advanced, we might differ to some extent on our knowledge of levels of description, levels of explanation, levels of collaborative ability, and our ability to incorporate strengths. So I think even if someone sees themselves as an advanced therapist, there may be elements in the book, elements in our practice, that they would still see as a way of improving their case conceptualization skills. So I think whether people come in as very inexperienced therapists or people who've been working with clients for a long, long time, I think there's an awful lot of scope to incorporate the how-to elements that I think are so central to the work that we undertake. So I think people with a huge range of skill level would benefit. And then, of course, there are the challenges of supervising and training other people as well. And I think that draws on a different set of skills. And if you can articulate the principles, that gives you an understanding that you can then understand what it is that people are doing well or perhaps less well in their actual casework, and you can use that to guide their development of conceptualization too. So I hope both clinicians and supervisors and consultants would find it beneficial in that way.
This book means a lot to me because case conceptualization was something when I was starting out as a cognitive behavioral therapist, I not only knew that I wasn't good at, but I thought I would never become able to do. And early in my career, about 4 or 5 years into it, I had an experience where I was with Dr. Beck, and he and I were spending some time. He was working on the anxiety disorders book that he wrote, and he was interviewing me about my anxiety cases, and there was a particular case I was struggling with working with, so he asked me to tell him about the case. And after about 15 minutes of me describing this case, he started telling me things about the client and understanding of what was going on for the client that when he said it, I knew, oh, that's what's going on. But I felt so stupid because I'd been working with this client for months and he had heard about the client for 15 minutes and his understanding was already so much better than mine. So my automatic thought was, I don't have the case conceptualization gene. And it's been humorous and meaningful to me to write this book because, of course, over the years I developed an understanding of how to do case conceptualization, and the struggle the three of us have gone through in writing this book is to look at how each of us does it and to try to come up with common principles that can guide us in case conceptualization. The nice addendum to the story was that I was able to spend a weekend chatting with Dr. Beck a few months ago, and he had since read our book, just read our book, and it had just come out, and he was very complimentary and said, "You've really captured it." He said, "This is the best book written about case conceptualization and how it should be done." And I thought, well, finally, after 25 years, I got the gene.
William, could I ask you how this book differs from other case conceptualization books?
I guess it's just a chance to summarize what we've already been saying. It's about the three principles. It's this idea that three principles guide how we work around case conceptualization. So the first is what Christine spoke about, this importance of the collaborative relationship with the client. The client is an equal and active partner in the process of conceptualization. The other is CBT has historically, particularly when parodied, focused a lot on problems and vulnerability. What we do in this book is really rebalance that and talk as well about strengths and clients' resilience. And I think the final principle is this idea of levels of conceptualization. Conceptualization is something that unfolds over the course of therapy, from simpler descriptive conceptualizations to more complex and longitudinal conceptualizations.
And I think for me, that element on concentrating on the strengths has been really quite valuable, because it broadens the way you see people. You begin to recognize them as a complete person, as a collection of difficulties and problems and things they're trying hard to overcome, but also areas that are actually going quite well and important areas that then actually you can draw on in order to help that person get themselves better. And I think that's something that I haven't seen well described or well promoted within the CBT field. And I think that's something that is really important to what we do, because not only does that help people get better quicker, we actually draw on that to help think about what will keep people well into the future and what will enable them to overcome what life will throw at them in the future. And that's what people want. They don't necessarily just want to feel better or free from their symptoms, they want to remain well. And I think that concentration on those elements is something that is something I'm particularly proud of, and I think is important, and something that will, I hope, will stand in good stead into the future.
What therapists are telling us is that they like these principles, they resonate for them,
right.
And it demystifies the conceptualization process, makes it very real, very usable, and clients in their work are able to actually work collaboratively with the conceptualization. That's what we're hearing as feedback in this first period of the book being out.
Which
there.
Which is great, yeah. And what is the advantage of collaborative case conceptualization over other CBT techniques?
The way we thought about this is perhaps even to start at completely different. Rather than seeing case conceptualization as a technique, it's actually the crucible or the overarching process within which techniques are used. So you might use a technique like a thought record or a particular intervention to help overcome a difficulty with panic, but actually the case conceptualization is the framework or the crucible or the understanding that allows you to select the right technique to help enable the therapist and the client to choose together what is most likely going to be able to create the change for people. So I kind of think of it as quite different from a technique. I actually think it's the framework by which we undertake our whole treatment approach. Does that resonate with yourselves? Does that seem right?
Sure, I think that's good.
And could you tell us more about the special features that are included in the book?
Well, what makes a feature special, I think, depends a bit on the reader, but there are certain features of the book that readers have been telling us they especially appreciate it. One of those things is that there is an extended case example. The middle three chapters of the book are one case which readers get to follow from the very first session of therapy to the very end of therapy and watch how and why and when the case conceptualization develops and unfolds over the course of therapy. So therapists have said they really appreciate this, and the case example is not always straightforward and simple. There's complexities and setbacks that occur, just as happen in every therapy that we experience. The other thing that we took special pains to include in the book is we put in an entire chapter on how to learn and how to teach case conceptualization, because case conceptualization is quite a complex skill. The more we got into this, the more we realized how many different skills were embedded in the process of doing case conceptualization. So we've actually laid out a whole chapter that individual therapists can read to identify, we have checklists and questionnaires where they can identify what their key learning gaps are and what they could learn to improve their case conceptualization ability, and also learning plans for step-by-step, how can they address these gaps and fill these gaps in. And then for teachers and instructors and supervisors, we provide information about how they can better teach case conceptualization and use this book as part of training programs. So those are some of the good things. We also have people, just when I watch people open our book and look at it, people are usually very pleased because we have lots of case conceptual diagrams and charts and graphs and client-therapist dialogue. So it's a very clinically rich. I think we worked really hard not to make it boring and academic in its tone.
I think when people conceptualize, they use a whole range of different things. They use diagrams, they use metaphors, they use images. So we've tried to meet therapists and clients where they conceptualize by making sure the book reflects that process. There's one other thing in the book, I think, which reflects that process. It's a bit in the room when you conceptualize with a client. It's almost as if there's three people. There's the client, and then there's the therapist, and then there's the therapist watching the process. But back in the 1960s, Harry Stack Sullivan called this the third eye. So what we've included in the book is so-called in the therapist head boxes, the sorts of thoughts and ideas and images the therapist might be having in relation to theory or research. So there's sort of pull-outs all the way through the book of what might be happening in the therapist's head throughout. But hopefully what we have tried to do is provide a book that's kind of fun, that's creative, that's inspiring, and meets the therapists where they are with this activity.
I think for myself, just one final thing to add, I think one of the special features is within that extended case example that we develop over three chapters, we deliberately address the issue of comorbidity when people have more than one problem. Yeah. Cognitive therapy is excellent. It's got a superb evidence base for the effectiveness of treating individual disorders. And we've all really invested heavily in learning about those specific disorder treatment techniques. However, the reality is that many, many people present with one or two or many co-occurring disorders, and we're stuck a little bit in how best to understand, how best to organise our treatments, where best to prioritise and begin to treat. And I think that directly addressing the issue of the co-occurrence or the comorbidity of people's problems is one of the things that I think readers will particularly value, because I think that will really kind of fit well with their own experience of working with people who walk through the door.
I think that one of the things I like best that people have said who've read the book is a lot of therapists say that it just captures real therapy. It's clinically very natural. It doesn't feel stilted. And I feel very proud about that because we tried very hard to stick to actual client case data or case data that was very representative of what we face in our clinical work. And we worked hard with each other in the course of writing the book to make it clinically very real. So when therapists come up and say, yes, I see my own clients in this, I see myself in this book, and the solutions that you're proposing to me, I've tried them out and they work, they help my clinical work, that's the most you can ever hope to achieve from writing a book. So from that early feedback, I feel quite good.
I too have had the experience since the book's come out of picking it up and feeling quite proud of the book, and I think that's partly because I think we set it back at least three or four times because we felt we hadn't quite, for example, made the case examples real enough. So Rob showed one of the case examples to a colleague, and the colleague said, oh, I'm not sure about that, that and that. We had to rewrite whole sections of the book to make it more real and more valid.
Yes.
And we did that with a whole range of things, didn't we? Getting the principles really distilled down to ones that we could all agree on.
Yes. So I think we think the process of writing this book, we're debating a bit whether it was 5 years or 6 years or 7 years, but it was a long time. Yeah. And each time we reworked our principles, I think we got closer and closer to a working model that not only could we understand and it matched up well to what each of us were doing, but it also, we thought, we finally came up with a model that other therapists could understand and that would be simple enough for therapists to read, apply, and for clients to understand as well.
I'm laughing because we've just spent the day together and with a whole bunch of other therapists, and nothing ever stands still, and combine that with we are to some degree perfectionists. So I am forever saying to therapists, and I've said it quite a few times today, is please send us comments about using this in your particular context, for example in forensic settings or child and adolescent settings or family settings, so that when we come to do the second edition we can actually elaborate and develop those aspects of the book that can afford to be elaborated and developed.
And I think that's an important point, Willem. We talked about in writing the book that this was a collaborative process, not mm-hmm. just between clients and therapists, absolutely. But writing the book is a collaborative process with the readers of the yep. book. Yep. And we are all involved in doing research on case conceptualization, mm-hmm. and we're really all dedicated to teaching case conceptualization and learning more about it. So we do really hope that everyone who reads this book will, if they have ideas to make our ideas better, or if they have examples of how this works or doesn't work in their clinical services, that they will in fact correspond with us. We are authors who are eager to collaborate absolutely. With readers.
Excellent. I'd like to thank you all for coming in today and wish you every success with your new book.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
For more information about collaborative case conceptualization, please visit www.guildfordpress.co.uk, where a sample chapter can be downloaded and the full book can be ordered. You can listen to and subscribe to more podcast interviews at this same address.